Good to see you all again this morning. As I said earlier, I'm Pastor David, and hope you guys are having a great day this morning. Enjoy the time of worship this morning with our worship team. And as you all know, and you saw, Pastor Kyle is out of town this weekend. Him and his family are enjoying some rest and relaxation. Amen. And it's something that we all need at times. And so we want to continue to keep them in prayer this morning as they are out, and I'll be bringing the message. So as we get ready to go into our message time, won't you just take your message notes, which can be found in the worship guide. If you haven't gotten those already, be sure to get that and make sure that you're kind of following along with us this morning. And as Pastor Kyle talked about just a little while ago, we are getting ready for starting today, our 21 days of prayer. Amen. And so this is something that we want you all to be able to enjoy and to join in with us as part of. We have our wristbands. You'll be able to get those outside the door after service, as well as our Pray First guides. And so we want to make sure that you all, if you need some direction in your prayer life or some things to pray about, you can follow along in the Prayer First guide, and then you can also get your wristbands. So we always remember to pray first, amen? Whatever it is that we're dealing with or what we're going through, we want to make sure that we are talking to God about them first, and he will give us some direction that will be good for our lives. Amen? And so as we're getting started with this and we're talking about prayer, we want to help you all join and draw closer to God. Amen? And so it's our duty and our hope that you will join in during these 21 days of prayer to get closer to God. But also, we're talking in conjunction with prayer, we want to talk about worship. Because if we can join any two things together that are really going to help you with what God has in store for you, it is making sure that your prayer life is where it should be, as well as worship. And worship is not just our Sunday morning coming in here and listening to the music as the worship team leads us and we sing, but there's a whole lot more to worship, and we're going to dive into that this morning. Are you guys ready? Yeah. Are you ready? All right, I like to hear some talk back, okay? So don't be shy. If you got some emotions, you're excited about something, or you agree with something, join in with me. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, the more you talk, the faster you'll get out. Yeah. All right. So I want to start out by saying that we all worship something. And whether or not you know or you understand it, each and every single one of you were created to worship. Every single one of us were created to worship. And there is something in our lives that you may be worshiping, or someone that you may be worshiping. And so this morning, I want you to start out by turning to somebody next to you and just say, you were created to worship. All right, find your second favorite person and tell them the same thing. You were created to worship. Yeah. Each and every one of us were, as I said, we were created to worship something. And there's something in their lives, and you may not think that you're worshiping something right now, or you may think that your priorities are in the proper place, and we want to kind of just look into that a little bit more this morning and really analyze where we are in our lives, where we are in our worship of the one and only true God. And so this morning, worship, the definition of worship is reverent devotion or allegiance pledged to, you fill in the blank. It is reverent devotion or allegiance pledged to something. There is something in our lives that we are giving our devotion to. And it's okay to give your devotion to something. For some of us, it's our jobs. Some of us, we have some reverent devotion and allegiance to our own selves. We understand that this life is about us, and so we want to move and operate in that way. And there are some things. It could be your car. It could be your favorite sports team. I don't know what it is, but there's something that you have some devotion and allegiance to in your life. And this morning, we want to analyze, what is that thing that I am worshiping? And so in your notes or on your notes, you may have some things that God speaks to you throughout the course of this message this morning. Feel free to write those in the margins this morning, all right? And so ask yourself this question: what am I worshiping? Or what is receiving my worship? This morning, we want to look closely into that. And I believe that we are in the last days. We are getting close to the end times. And with that being said, there are some things that are on kind of the world scale and some things that are going on in this world that we can really take a look at, and we can see things that people are doing that are showing us things that we might have changed or substituted for the Word of God, and things that God is desiring, and things that we might have put on the throne a little higher than God. And it may cause us to back up a little bit and look at ourselves. And I'm not here to bring any shame to you or to your situation, but to help you realize that the one and only true God is the one who is deserving of our praise and our honor. Amen? Amen. And so this morning, what is it that you are worshiping? What is it that's receiving your praise? And we can label the things that are going on towards the end of this world in what we would call the not-so-great exchange. The not-so-great exchange. What are those things that are not necessarily the best? Those things that maybe shouldn't be in that place that we're putting them. Is it okay to enjoy my sports team? Yes, it is. But it's not okay that that sports team is higher than my worship of God. Amen? Amen. And so we want to analyze and look at that this morning. And so with that not-so-great exchange, the first thing I want us to look at here is Romans 1 and 21. And it says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified God nor gave thanks to him. Now, this is really important as we get started here. Although they knew God. There are many people who know God. It even says that the demons in hell, they know who God is, but that doesn't mean that they worship God. See, that doesn't mean that they honor him for who he is. It says, although they knew God and they neither glorified him as God or gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being, and birds and animals and reptiles. So we're going to talk about this morning some of those things that we might have exchanged for the glory of God. What are some things that we might have put in that position, in that place on the throne that God should be there? And we have a couple different things. We want you to write these in your notes as you're following along here. And the first thing we have done is we have created a substitution. We have substituted some things for the glory of God. There are things that we let sit on the throne where God should be. And it's real quiet because we may be thinking about, okay, what is it that I have? What are those things? Is it my TV show? Is that what I allow to sit on the throne? Is it my car? Do I allow that to sit on the throne? Is it social media? Do I get so wrapped up and involved in social media that it is taking place of my worship of God and I'm not really giving God the honor and the praise that he's deserving of or that I should be giving him? Or is it my sports team? Now for me, I don't know about y'all, but for me, I love sports. And it is getting to that, and y'all, you may not be too happy, but it's getting to that wonderful time of year. Yeah, some of you know what I'm talking about. And don't beat me up now, but where there's lots of tailgating, and we have our picnics and barbecues, and yeah. And like to get on the road and drive to watch our teams play. It's the wonderful season of football. Yeah. And I want you to understand there is nothing wrong with you enjoying football. There is nothing wrong with you having a passion for your favorite sports team. But does that passion for that sports team sit higher on the throne than God? This morning, that's something for us to analyze and look at. For me, there were times in my life, and I can remember about 5 years ago, I joined fantasy football. Anybody here play some fantasy football? Yeah, we got a couple of them. And I must admit that the first year I started playing fantasy football, some friends, they like, hey, come on, why don't you join this league? We got this thing going on. I'm like, okay, we'll do it. Year two, had two teams. Year three, had 3 to 4 teams. And it was just getting consuming to the point where these fantasy football teams were taking over kind of my thought process. Before I get ready to go to church and worship God in the morning, I'm over here trying to figure out who am I going to start or who am I going to sit on the bench. This is what was going on. And sometimes in our lives, we come in Sunday morning worried too much about our fantasy football team or that favorite player that we want. And we put our priorities higher than our priorities are for God. For you, it may not be fantasy football. What is that thing? What is that thing that you are giving so much time, devotion, and effort to that you think more about that than when you come in here on Sunday mornings of your worship to God? What are those things that you are giving all of your effort and time to? This morning, we really want to look at that and see what it is. See, we must not determine in our minds to place priorities in a higher position or place than the throne that God should be sitting on. And so Deuteronomy 6 and 14, it says, you must not worship any of the gods of neighboring nations, for the Lord your God who lives among you is a jealous God. We do serve a jealous God. He's one who wants and looking for our worship, but he's not going to make you worship him. He wants you to desire him. He wants you to go after him with a passion and a burning in your heart that says, you know what, God, I love you. No matter what is going on in my life right now, I'm going to worship you and give you the praise that you're deserving of because you're such a good God. Because you woke me up this morning simply. Because I'm breathing right now. This is the God that we worship. Amen? Amen. 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 And so this morning, as we think about the God that you worship, think about why is he worthy? Worship means it's something. It comes from, seriously, the word worth-ship. What do you deem worthy of your praise? What do you deem worthy of honor? That's where this word worship comes from. And so when we come in this morning and we come in and we're worshiping God, we're not saying, you know what, God, everything is hunky-dory right now and cotton candy and rainbows, but I understand who you are. And so for that reason and that reason alone, I give you my worship. For that reason, that is why I praise you. And so, first of all, we had substitution, but now we've got pride. We allow pride to get in the way of our worship. And for some of us, we come in on Sunday mornings, and we come, we hear the music playing, and we come in, we stand, hands crossed, face stoic, like the pallbearer at a funeral. And we take no opportunity to really show God that we are honoring him with our worship. And it's not just about raising your hands and clapping your hands in service, but for some of you, I'm going to push you a little bit this morning, and it might make you a bit uncomfortable. God is looking for you to show him that he's worthy of your praise, and he doesn't want you to worry about who's sitting next to you or who else is raising their hands, because most likely they're worshiping God themselves. But I want you to understand that nobody cares what you're doing during the time of worship. This is about you and him. That's what that time is about. And so this morning, as you go and as you come in, as you're worshiping God, we must understand that we can't allow our pride of what others think about us to affect our praise. Each and every single one of us has an issue. Whether you know it or not, I got problems. I got lots of problems. But I want you to understand, I can't allow my problems to outweigh my praise. Amen. If I allow my problems to outweigh my praise, I will never get into a place in a mindset where I can truly give God what he's deserving of. Because all I'm doing is thinking about myself, and that's not what this is about. This is about him. This is about understanding who he is and what he desires to give me within my life. In John 12, it says, yet at the same time, many among them, even the leaders, believed in him. This is believing in Jesus Christ. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they love praise of men more than praise of God. Are you concerned with what others think more than you're concerned about what God thinks? This morning, that's an opportunity for you to really answer that question and to look inside yourself. Am I worrying about what my friends have to say, or am I worrying about what God has to say? Am I afraid to invite my friends to church this morning because they might think a little differently of me because I'm a Christian? Or do I care about their salvation? Do I care about their life? Do I care about seeing them change and their situation rectified? This morning, as we look into ourselves and we analyze what God has to say, it's not about pride and operating in pride, but it's about operating and trying to figure out what it is that I can give to God. So we had pride, and now we have another word. Some of you may not know of this word. It's called hedonism. And it simply is the pursuit of pleasure or sensual self-indulgence. I'm a feelings-driven type of person. And I think that's what the way many of us are. I think that's the way this world is going to. If I feel it, I must operate that way. But God did not create us to operate just out of our feelings. I think that that kind of got Adam and Eve in trouble. Operating out of our feelings, the things that we think we should do. Oh, you know, this is a nice little app. I think I'm going to take it. I'll be wise like God. That would feel good. But it led to punishment and led to death. This morning, God's not calling us to operate out of how we feel. How many people know that feelings can get you in trouble? Yeah. Your feelings, you might have been in a relationship at one point in your life, and those feelings caused you to stay in that relationship, even when you might have been younger, but you should have gotten out. But you let your feelings get the best of you, and sometimes the feelings will get the best out of you, and that's what Satan will plague on the most. He'll go after your feelings and your emotions more than what you know to be the truth, more than what you know the Word of God has to say. And so we don't design our Sunday morning services, our time of worship in here to evoke a certain type of feeling within you. That's not how we try to put our services together here. However, the Spirit of God, once we allow him to come in, it makes room for him to move. And you may feel something. But if you allow your feelings to get the best of you, many times, as I said, you won't ever praise. This morning, it may have been a gloomy day for you. Or it might have been a rough day getting the kids ready to come to church this morning. For me, my daughter, it's trouble trying to get her to eat her breakfast. I don't know what it may have been. You might have had a rough week this week. But if I allow the things that I'm dealing with to take the best of me, then I'll never have the feeling or the emotion to praise God. And that's not what it's about. It's not about having the feeling. So you can't allow your situation to determine your declaration. Don't allow your situation, whatever it is you're in, whatever it is you're dealing with throughout the course of the week or even right now in this moment, don't allow that to determine what you declare of how great God is, how awesome God is. This morning, God is calling all of us to worship him and to praise him. In Hebrews 13, verse 15, it says, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name." A sacrifice means that I have to lay down or I have to give up something in order to receive something. We want to sacrifice, and sometimes it doesn't feel the best. It's not the easiest thing to do, but God is calling us to give him a sacrifice of praise this morning, to give him praise when I don't feel like it, to worship him when I don't feel like it, when it seems like there's a lot of hell in my life. That's what God is calling us to worship him, to praise him. You can't let those things impact your worship because this is the God who saved you. This is the God who laid down his life for you. And I think it's quite minor if we just sit here and we say thank you and just move on about our business. And we come in on Sunday mornings and we don't have any emotion or any movement into what we're doing. And so the next thing we want to look at is spectatorism. I'm sure you guys know what that is. It's not a real word, but you know what that means. We come in on Sunday morning and we think that just because we showed up here on Sunday morning, we are worshiping God. Because I came to service, I'm giving him all the worship that he's deserving of. Remember, your worship is a direct action and your response to who he is. Your worship is your response to who he is. So, if I come in on Sunday morning and I look like a pallbearer, I don't know about you, but that's not the kind of God I serve. That's not the God that I'm worshiping. That's not the God who saved me, who died for me, who gave me his life. Worship is not the service. The service this morning, you being here, that is not worship. And so for me, when I look at how I respond to my wife, I can't just come in the house and say, hey, honey, love you. And that shows her I love her. No, there are actions that are behind the things that I do. If I love her, I want to give her some flowers, or I want to give her a massage. And right now, we are 9 months pregnant, baby due any day now. And so there are some things that I want to do to show her that I love her. If you love God, there must be some things that you want to do to show God that you love him. Yeah? And so this morning when we look at that, it's not about being a spectator and watching what God is doing, but it's about getting involved and getting closer to God by acting, by having a response to what he's done for you in your life. James 4 and 8 says, come close to God and God will come close to you. I find it funny because a lot of times we think that God is going to start moving towards us and make all the moves. But he's saying, you come close to me, and then I'll come close to you. He's wanting you to do a little something first to show him that, hey, I trust you, God. I believe in you because of the things you've done for me in the past. And so this morning, God is calling each and every one of us to come a little bit closer during these 21 days of prayer and fasting. Can you come a little closer? Can you pray a little more? Can you seek God a little more? Can you worship a little more? How much better would your month be if you got closer to God through prayer? How much more would your situations might change if you got a little closer and more in touch with God, in a position to be able to hear from God, what God is trying to do or say or tell you during these 21 days? Hebrews 10, 22 says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. Your faith will be strengthened the moment your abilities run out. Yeah. Your faith is not going to kick in until what you can do out of your own power ceases to exist. And many times we just want God to just start doing stuff, but we haven't never turned it over to God. We never said, God, you know what? I trust you're able to do it. I'm going to put it in your hands. He's saying, turn it over to me. Show me that you can take a step closer to me, and I'll prove to you who I am. And so the next one is tradition. Some of us, we've let tradition get in the way of hearing what God has to say to us. Tradition. I grew up in a very, I would say, traditional church. We sang a lot of hymns. And I remember I could rattle off almost any hymn anybody would say. You just say the title and I could just go. That's the kind of, every Sunday, I would just go to all these extra church meetings. I was dragged to church, as they would say, a drug baby, okay? And I was always in church, always. At this conference, my wife, she still cracks up right now because my parents are always in these conferences and all these meetings, these church meetings. And we would go to all these different meetings, and I remember I just open up the hymnal and just start going through them. But now, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with growing up in a traditional church. There's nothing wrong with being learning the hymns and all those other things, but are you allowing certain traditions to get in the way of hearing from God? Are you allowing these traditions that you've been dealing with or you've learned throughout the course of your life to have an impact on you where you can no longer have an impact on someone else? Are you in a position to hear from God? See, God does not care about your traditions, but he cares about your position. He cares about the position you are in. Are you in a position to hear from him and to move when he wants you to move to? Are you in a position to hear from him so you can speak to the people he wants you to speak to have an impact on the people that he wants you to have impact on? Or are you allowing your traditions to get in the way? In Matthew 15, verses 3-9, it says, Jesus replied, and why do you by your traditions violate the direct commandments of God? And so cancel the word of God for the sake of your own tradition. You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. For he wrote, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commandments from God. See, Jesus was quick to jump down a Pharisee's throat. He was quick to let them know, you guys are wrong about what you're doing. Because many of these traditions that these Pharisees were trying to put on the Jewish people were things that no longer need to be taking place. And so Jesus was quick to tell them they need not to worry about these things. And one of those things is the Sabbath. You know, the Pharisees would try to hold the Sabbath over people's heads because the Pharisees like to be in control. And there's some things that Jesus said that they no longer need to be occupied with trying to hold to the Sabbath. Because the Sabbath is not made for them to be held to, but for them to receive some rest. And so it was a lot of things and traditions that Jesus would let them know, we need to stop worrying about these things because these things are keeping my children from the Father. And this morning, God wants you closer to Him. He wants you to have a bigger and better relationship with Him. To understand that you can talk to Him whenever you need to talk to Him. He wants to communicate with you on a daily basis. He wants to have relationship with you and so that you can understand who He is at all times. And so you may say, well, what is it that God really wants from me? This morning, I want to try to answer that question for you. To let you know that God is seeking and searching after people who love Him and who will give their hearts and their minds to Him. In Psalm 50, let's read this. And it says, I have no complaint about your sacrifices, the burnt offerings you constantly offer. But I do not need the bulls from your barns or the goats from your pens. For all the animals of the forest are mine. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird on the mountains, and all the animals of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For all the world is mine and everything in it. Do I eat the meat of bulls? Do I drink the blood of goats? Make thankfulness your sacrifice to God and keep your vows you made to the Most High. Then call on me when you are in trouble and I will rescue you and you will give me glory. This morning, the first thing, God wants you to thank Him. Thank Him with my sincere affection. This morning, God is calling for each and every one of us to thank Him because we understand who He is. We understand that He is the God who has created the world. We understand that He's the one who's placed the sun, the moon, the stars in the sky. He causes the earth to rotate the way it needs to rotate. We're not so close to the sun that we burn up to a crisp, and we're not so far away that we freeze to death. This is the God who we are. This is the God who we worship and who we adore. So this morning, we understand that we can't come in with our hands folded, our lips puckered, because we understand that this is the God who we can give thanks to. You see, for me, I have no problem jumping up and down and running around when my favorite sports team scores a touchdown, or when my team, the Warriors, wins the championship. I have no problem getting off my butt and running around and clapping my hands and praising. But I want you to understand that there is someone greater. There is someone so much more mightier who placed the sun, moon, and stars in the sky, who had once a relationship so much with you and I, that He was willing to turn His blind eye to the Son, Jesus Christ. To sit Him down and wrap Himself in flesh. And to go through a suffering. To be beaten for you and for me. To bleed blood that you should have bled and I should have bled. To be beaten a death that we should have died. And He did all this so that we could be repaired. And to be brought back into the family of Christ. And to have everlasting reign with the Father, Jesus Christ. And so, this morning, if I can praise my sports team in a way that makes me run around the house or jump up and down, how much more can I give my God praise who has suffered, bled, and died for you and I? That's a golf clap. Come on, let's give Jesus praise. See, this morning, if you are giving your sports team more praise than God, I want you to understand your priorities are in the wrong place. If you are willing to run around and get excited about what somebody else has done or the new car that you've gotten and you take time out of your time with God, our priorities may be in the wrong place. You may have the wrong things on the throne. This morning, God is calling us to give Him thanks. Secondly, he wants you to offer him the control of your life. Offer him control of your life. I think about it this way. Now, it'd be awesome if I had an airplane. I don't have an airplane. But that'd be awesome. And it'd be nice if I went over to the little airfield over here and got in the cockpit, sat down, got ready to take this plane out for a nice little fly. But I brought a pilot along with me. And the pilot's sitting here in the cockpit next to me. And he's like, okay, so yeah, you've got this lever here. You pull this lever. I see all these tools and gadgets and all these things on the dashboard. And I'm like, okay, so what does this do? And what does this do? And trying to figure this out. And he's telling me as we're going, and it's probably going to take me quite a while before I get to take the plane off. It's probably going to take me quite a while before I get to my destination, wherever I want to fly this plane to. But I've got a pilot sitting right next to me who could very well be sitting in this seat, flying this plane, and get me where I need to go just in time. For somebody here this morning, you might have been trying to fly your own plane, and you might have Christ sitting right next to you. You might have the pilot who understands every dial, every digit, everything that's going on that dashboard, but you've yet to give him control of that plane. He wants you to offer him your life. And it's the same way when we look at ourselves. And in Romans 12 and 1, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. This, offering yourself to God. There's nothing else. This, in this moment, it's important for us to understand that this is the true worship that we can give to God. When we say, God, you know what? I've been trying to do this thing myself. I've been trying to operate this plane and fly and take care of business myself, but I'm not going anywhere. It's my time to offer it to you. This morning, God wants you to offer your life, whatever it is you're dealing with, whatever you're going with, whether it's disease, depression, whatever your problems are. He's saying, offer them to me and I'm able to heal you. I'm able to change your life. This morning, that is our true and proper worship. So understand this, that the less control you have, the more control God has. And the more control God has, the more peace you'll have. Let me say that one more time. The less control you have, the more control God has. And the more control God has, the more peace you'll have. Instead of trying to figure it out and operate this thing myself, we give our lives to God. We say, take control of my situation. And we allow then the Holy Spirit to move and work in our lives and direct us down which street, which road, which stop sign, whatever changes we need to make in our lives. That's the power of Jesus Christ. That's the power that the Holy Spirit is able to give each and every one of you this morning. But we have to allow him to have control. And many times, we don't do that. The last point is include him in my everyday life. Include him in my everyday life. This morning, God wants a continual relationship with each and every one of us. He doesn't want to come in when I'm in trouble, and then we don't talk to him for 5 months, and then we come back again when I'm in trouble. But he's saying, hey, you know what? Yeah, I may be there. I will be there for you when you call on me. But it'd be so much better if you talk to me every day. If you let me know the things you're dealing with and you're going through on a daily basis. Your life and your relationship will be so much stronger. You'll be able to hear from him. And you won't take 3, 5, a year, 10 years to get to the destination that I've already put in place for you. Because for some of us, we might have been going time and time again, dealing and struggling with the same thing over and over and over again, because we said, you know what, all right, you can take control here, and then when I get 10,000 feet in the air, I'm going to take control of this plane. Yeah, we're soaring now, but how are you going to land where you need to go? How are you going to get to the destination that God has called you to get to? Let him have control and include him every day. We include him every day through our prayer and through our worship. Whether it's in your car and you're driving, you need to turn on some music and just lift your hands and just tell him, God, thank you. I've got a car that I can get to work, that I can pay my bills, that I'm living right now, that I'm breathing, that there's someone who's worse off than I am out there. Right now, in this moment, we are taking the opportunity to realize the God who is here. And he says, you know what? When you include me, I'll show you that I can make all things new in you. That whatever it is that was you were dealing with before, it's in the past. And I'm looking towards the hills from where my help comes from. Understanding and realizing that all of my help, all of my, not some, but all of my help comes from the Lord. The God who made heaven and earth. The God who caused the sun, the moon to shine. God wants a relationship with each and every one of us every day. It wouldn't be good enough for me to talk to my wife every other day. To talk to her once a week. That wouldn't be much of a relationship. Same way goes for my relationship with God. He wants to talk to us each and every day and to be included in our lives. So this morning, you're going to have an opportunity. You may not have ever given God control of your life. You might be sitting right now in the driver's seat. And you might say, I realize I need to change some things. I need to give you control of my life. Or you might have given God control of your life, and then you jump right back on in that seat, and you're trying to operate this thing, and things are going haywire right now in your life. Things are getting reckless, and you're making decisions that you're not necessarily sure if this is what you should be making. Pray first. Give it to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are a God that we can worship, that we can give the praise because you're worthy of the praise. And this morning, there may be some of us that are here who at one time gave our lives to you and we've taken back control, or some who may not have ever given our lives to you, but this morning we want to give it over to you this morning, God. Lord, there may be some of us who are dealing with worship and we haven't really figured out how we can get to a place of worshiping you at all times. Lord, let us realize who you are in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our pains, God, that you're always here for us, that your word says that you would never leave us, that you would never forsake us, and that if we would always stay in touch with you, that we will have success and victory. Because your word says so. We bless you and we praise you for this in Jesus' name. And I want you to just keep your heads bowed in this moment. There might be some, as I said, who haven't given their lives to Christ. This is an opportunity for you. This is an opportunity for you to say, you know what, Christ? You're enough for me. I'm giving it over to you right now in this moment. No longer will I let this thing be about myself. I won't let pride get in the way. And some of you, even still, gave it to him and turned away. And he's calling you to come back. He's saying, if you would come close to me, I'll come close to you. So on the count of three, if you're one of those two, you want to give your life to Christ this morning, or you want to recommit your life to Christ this morning, I'm going to have you raise your hand. On the count of three, one, two, three, all over the building. Amen. Praise God. I see those hands. Amen. If you want to give your life over to Christ right now in this moment. Amen. Praise God. I want us to all just say this prayer together. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son. And Jesus, I believe that you died for me and that you rose for me. Lord, I give my life to you. Never will I be the same because of what you've done for me. This day is the best day of the rest of my life. I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for those who give their life to Christ. Amen.